the sixth case, which is United States v. Paul McGee. Mr. Rahek.
May it please the Court, Ms. Henning. Before moving on to the substance of my argument, I would like to start by apologizing to the Court. The government was correct in its brief in regard to the incomplete version of my jurisdictional statement. I had not included that you have jurisdiction pursuant to 28 U.S.C. Section 1291 and wanted to get that on the record today and believe I'm properly before you at this time. I realize that the standard to overcome here in requesting that you find that Mr. McGee should have a new trial is a difficult one for me, that in order for you to find in the defendant's favor, you must find that Judge Miller abused his discretion in not granting the new trial. I would also ask you to use the Larison, or sometimes known in the circuit as the Reed test, in determining whether a new trial is warranted. And as you know, there are three factors to be considered, three prongs. District court must reasonably be well satisfied that the testimony given by a material witness is false.
Whichever test we use, isn't it pretty clear the district court thought that the discrepancies that Mr. McGee was trying to point out at this stage, which car somebody happened to own at which point in time, and whether there were more alibi witnesses, really just weren't those, with respect to a transaction that wasn't even the subject of the indictment, it was sort of the lead up to what happened in these bank robberies. It's hard to see how the district court, under any test, couldn't evaluate that, say, it's just, I'm not convinced Mr. Freeman was lying, and in any event, I don't think this would have made any difference.
Well, in essence, Mr. Freeman was lying. He said that originally, in regard to the shooting, that the car that was used belonged to Chapeka Mack, and that Chapeka Mack was involved in the shooting along with the defendant and along with an individual named Jeremiah. He then ties that same Intrepid into the April 27th robbery. Now, I'm not denying that it was the car that was used in that robbery. It was. But the fact remains that Chapeka Mack, and Judge Miller even found this, could not have owned that Dodge Intrepid on October 26th, I believe, of that year.
But why is that a lie instead of just a potential mistake? I mean, some people are better at remembering who has what car when than others, just like some people are better at remembering what kind of tie you're wearing today than others. I mean, I don't think anybody's disagreeing with that objective evidence about the car ownership, but why is it something that indicates falsehood as opposed to just a slip in memory?
Because he was asked directly, did you see that car again? This was in relation to the October shooting incident.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I did. And then he's asked later, in regard to the April 27th robbery, is that the same car that was used when you were shot in October? Yes, it was. There was no equivocation there. The man is positively identifying that vehicle on both occasions. And the significance of that is that it ties Chapeka Mack into Deion Freeman, ties Chapeka Mack into Paul McGee, and binds them all together.
It does not, though, in any way undermine the fact that these three robberies took place, and the other evidence suggests that Mr. McGee was behind them.
Well, I'm certainly not arguing that the robberies didn't take place. They did, and I certainly am not arguing that Deion Freeman was not involved in the February and the April robberies. I'm sure he was, just as I'm sure that in some way Charles Spires was linked into the March robbery where Paul McGee was acquitted by the jury. And I think that's significant in going to show what the jury must have been thinking in relation to Freeman's testimony. Because the March robbery, Freeman was not involved in, did not testify about, and that all came from Charles Spires, from Charles Spires' girlfriend, and from woman who had Charles Spires' brother's child. The jury acquitted McGee of those two charges, which leads to, I think, the conclusion that Spires' testimony was not found to be credible, nor was Shante McGee's or Nicola Simmons. Now, the government has argued that it should be credible, and that this court should not use that acquittal to determine that the jury found that they did not believe those three. I think you can, and that's what we're asking you to do. One of the keys to the Larison test is the fact that the jury might have reached a different conclusion. It's not would probably have, as it is in the general test. I think there's enough there to suggest that if the jury knew about the Intrepid and the backup evidence in relation to that, that they very well might have acquitted Paul McGee of the other counts. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hannage?
Thank you. May it please the court. We're asking the court to affirm Mr. McGee's conviction. The only question before the court is whether or not the district court abused its discretion when it denied Mr. McGee's motion for a new trial. The motion was based on proffered evidence. Mr. McGee alleged that Freeman had lied at trial about the Dodge not being the same vehicle at the shooting, and then he proffered three affidavits of individuals who would take McGee out of that shooting. The question raised by the appellant is actually asking this court to second-guess the credibility determinations of not only the district court but the jury. It's very clear from Judge Miller's order that he went through the evidence from beginning to end to first of all assess the credibility of Mr. Freeman, whose testimony was being challenged. And then the court went through all the corroborating evidence.
Wasn't that important? I mean, I take it you agree that newly discovered impeachment evidence in some cases can be enough for a new trial.
It could be in some cases, but in this situation, the judge determined, first of all, that Freeman's testimony was credible, looking at the testimony and then looking at all the corroborating evidence that came from several witnesses. It also came from the physical evidence that was seized after the third robbery, the sweatshirt and the gun that had been thrown out.
Even assuming, I mean, by that time the judge must be saying, even assuming he's mistakenly identified or, you know, falsely identified, whatever it may have been, the car in the first shooting incident. I'm sorry. I'm just saying the judge must have been saying Mr. Freeman's testimony about the bank robberies was credible, even if he was lying about something else.
Well, when you read the order, when you read the opinion, the judge is looking at the credibility of Mr. Freeman on the shooting incident, trying to assess whether that evidence, that testimony was credible, looking at the trial evidence that supported that, And then the second thing that the court did, which is necessary in this type of a question, is to look at the proffered evidence mm-hmm. to see, well, does that seem truthful? And looking at the Dodge, I mean, it was clear there, apparently Mr. Mack did not own the vehicle at the time of the shooting, but that could be just mistaken testimony during trial. With the affidavits that were submitted of the three people who knew McGee, Judge Miller determined that there were a lot of credibility issues with the affidavits. The one gentleman, Mr. Ryan, was the boyfriend of McGee's mother, had been for 12 years, certainly would have a reason to contort the truth. And then the other two individuals who supplied affidavits, one was had been using crack the night of the shooting, and the third person's testimony actually, or the affidavit information actually kind of corroborated Freeman in many respects. There were two individuals. The third person could have been Mr. McGee. So there were a lot of questions like that. And that's the methodology that the district court should use with these kinds of issues that are raised. Judge Miller did an extremely good job, we feel. He did look at the general test, went through the four prongs there, and determined that even under the more stringent test, Mr. McGee did not deserve a new trial. And under the more lenient Larison test, the judge thoroughly analyzed the evidence, indicated in the memo what he felt supported Mr. Freeman's credible testimony, and essentially ruled that he did not believe that it was not true, and for the second prong, that there wouldn't have been a different conclusion by the jury. So if the court doesn't have any additional questions, we would rest on our feet.
Okay, thanks. Do you have about a minute? Oh, we got 3 minutes.
Just very quick rebuttal. Indeed, Judge Miller did find Deion Freeman's testimony was credible. And that's why I'm standing here before you, because I'm asking you to find that Judge Miller was wrong about that.
But how can we do that? I mean, in the absence of some impossibility, he weighs all these things. For all I know, you know, Mr. Mack likes Dodge Intrepid, you know, so even though it wasn't that Dodge Intrepid back before, maybe it was a different one. I mean, there were so many possibilities, and Judge Miller was in the best position to make an overall assessment.
Well, I don't know if Topeka Mack had another Dodge Intrepid on that day or not. There is certainly nothing in the record that would indicate he did, other than that specific Dodge Intrepid that was identified by Deion Freeman. In relation to Freeman's testimony, I would ask the court to remember that after the shooting, he also reported to Gary Police that he was shot by Jeremiah. And Jeremiah only. That was the only name that he gave in relation to the shooting. And also, when he was arrested in Milwaukee, he was questioned by Milwaukee police, told them about his involvement in relation to the April 27th robbery, because they already knew about that, and signed a statement wherein he said that he had committed no other crimes in either Milwaukee or in Indiana. By his own admission at trial, he had been lying about various things in relation to this case. And it's my position, again, that he was lying in relation to the car, and that it has a significant bearing on the overall credibility of him, and whether the jury, knowing what we know now, might have acquitted him. You know, Rule 33 talks about interest of justice, and that's what Paul McGee is asking for today. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I understand you were court appointed.
Yes.
I appreciate your taking the appointment and your advocacy for your client.
Thank you.
We'll move on to the next.